Hey, I'm Paul.
And I'm Christian.
Welcome to I'm Dying to Tell You, inspiration shared by our mom who is dying from ALS.
There is no cure for our mom or anyone else with ALS. But right now, she's on a mission to find and share stories of inspiration.
Coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, we're happy to introduce the one lady we both love since the first day we laid eyes on her. The queen of the Queen City, our mom, your host, Lori.
Hello there. I'm Lori, your host of I'm Dying to Tell You. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you chiming in. I am super excited about introducing you to someone who is working really, really hard to make a positive impact in this crazy, crazy world that we're in right now. And most of the time, I find inspiration in other adults. But today, I am sitting down with a 13-year-old from Brooklyn, New York, who has taken her pain and her negative experiences and has turned it into something really, really good. This 8th grade graduate is a DJ, a rapper, a motivational speaker, an activist, and even an author. When I think of this person, the first thing that comes to me is unstoppable. And she's only 13, but I know she's going to continue to change the world and do some really amazing things in the future. I am talking about Samira Horton, also known as DJ Annie Red. Yep, that's right. She's a DJ and she is using her love of music to spread her anti-bullying message all over the world. She has been doing this since she was 7 years old. She's made quite the name for herself and gained a lot of respect amongst children, teens, and even adults as she is encouraging bullies to stop and those that are being bullied to stand up for themselves in a positive manner. This girl has a resume a mile long and has been recognized nationally for her efforts, for everything that she's doing, including Time for Kids, Nickelodeon, H&M. She is the resident DJ for the Brooklyn Nets. She's been featured on the Nick Cannon Show and so much more. I am super proud of my new friend, DJ Annie Red. I can't wait to share her with you. So let's go to our chat. Samira, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I came across you on Instagram, like a lot of other people, and I really am inspired by your young heart and what you're doing. Yeah, it always just really touches me to see young people doing good and working so hard. I can tell you have a heart of gold, big passion, big dreams to help other people. So thank you for joining me and being here today.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right. I know publicly you are DJ Annie Red.
Yes.
And you have had that title for a while, and you are 13. 13. So tell me about when that DJ aspect came into your life.
Oh, music has always been in my life, like from the beginning, like when I was born. I like to say that my house, my family's house, always like the, you know, cookout house. Like, we're always having the parties at our house. Like, yeah. Everybody's always coming here. Ever since I was super little, like, every weekend we're always partying, especially during the summer. So we're always the house that has the music. So my dad was a DJ.
Yeah.
I live in New York, so that's when the hip hop scene started. So my dad was already immersed from that when he was younger. So, and my uncles, my grandpa, like, it was sort of like a music thing. So I sort of got put onto that when I was younger. I've always had a passion for music. I play piano, I play guitar, I play the drums. So I've always had music in me since I was super young. Yeah. So I just started picking it up. Like, my dad would leave the set out and I would sort of just have an interest in it. I try to you know, figure it out. So my dad and my mom saw that I had an interest in it, and they were like, she really likes this. Like, maybe we should try to take this another step, because my parents have notoriously been known for, like, any little thing that I even, like, say, like, I want to do this, they're on it, which I'm really grateful to have supportive parents like that. So if I'm like, I want to try this, I want to try that, and they're like, okay, let's go for it. And even before I started DJing, they were always like that. Like, soccer, art, whatever I wanted to do, they would just let me try it, because why not? Like, experience at a young age, you want to see what you like. And that's how things start. So they saw I like DJing. So from there, I started practicing with my dad, but we wanted to take this to, like, the next level. So I went to a DJ school called Scratch Academy, and they taught how to get better at DJing. And I was the youngest graduate from there. I graduated within 6 months, almost a year, super quickly, because I picked on really quickly. So I was able to graduate from there. I was professionally DJing when I was 6 or 7 years old. So I've been DJing for half of my life, because I'm going to be 14 this year. So half of my life I've been DJing, and it feels really, really crazy. And yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So we have a DJ in our family. My youngest son goes by the name of Selda Knight, and he lives in Austin, and he is a music producer and DJ. And so when we go out there, we go to the club and watch him play, and it's so, so fun. And when he comes home from the holidays and he brings his, let's see, what are they called?
Controller?
CDJs.
Oh, CDJ. Oh, okay. I see the language.
Yeah, he set me up and put me behind that, and it was really, really fun. It was hard to remember what to do, but I was able to get a little taste of it. As far as bringing in some music, some different sounds, and transitioning from one song to the next.
Yeah.
So for a very quick minute, I felt like I was really cool and hip. So what kind of music are you playing when you do a DJ set?
So I like to call myself an open format DJ. I do mostly every single type of genre. And I'm trying to still learn every single type of genre. I mostly play pop, hip hop, stuff like that. That's mostly my go-to type of music, because I love that type of music. So old school hip hop, new school hip hop, everything in between, I'm all for that. So I started off DJing on turntables. Now we've evolved, you can just use your computer and you can have all your music set up.
Yeah.
I normally DJ on a controller. And it's essentially just like a big, big box. The discs are still there, but everything is connected. And you can plug everything into your computer, even use a hard drive. So it's really, really nice, really, really modern. So I use every form of DJing, basically. I scratch, I transition, all that. I'm also a party DJ. I like working the mic. I like getting people involved. So that's how it goes.
And all of a sudden you have this creative outlet that you can deliver your anti-bullying message and encourage other kids along the way. Okay, so what you decided to do with all this talent and music and message is really, really cool. So tell me about that.
So the way my anti-bullying work started was from my personal experience. I dealt with bullying myself. I was bullied because of my voice. I was bullied because of the way I carried myself. I was bullied because the way I wanted to interact with kids. Ever since I was, like, super young, my mom knows that, vouches for me. I've always been a super social kid, like, always outgoing, always wanting to learn people, know people, experience with people, go out, have fun, play. I've also been pretty athletic. I play basketball. I also started when I was younger, I played soccer. So I was always athletic. So mixing those two together, I was always wanting to go talk and play. So I would go to different summer camps throughout the summer because I wanted to, you know, take that socialness outside and not be in my house all day.
Yeah.
I would go. And most of the girls, unfortunately, don't really want to play the sports that I really wanted to play with at that time. And now we're in a new day and age where it's like everyone is doing that. So I'm really happy about that. When I was younger, it wasn't really like that. So I would go play with the boys. And the boys weren't very accepting of me. They would call me a whole bunch of different names. Tell me that I smoke, like I said, like I smoke cigarettes, all bunch of different things. They would just be mean to me. Now, I sort of never really got affected by those things up until I was about 6 or 7, and it actually got pretty bad. So I went to go talk to my parents about it, and they were like, you know, all the usual stuff parents will tell you, like, you know, you better than them and all that. Because bullies have their own insecurities. Bullies bully because they may have their own problems at home. They may feel bad about themselves. So they want to take that negative energy out on you. That's what my parents told me. And I was able to build up my skin and sort of think like, hey, I don't want this to happen to other kids. So I made a song about bullying called No, You Won't Bully Me, which is a rap song that talks about the effects of bullying, how to stop it if it happens to you and all that. So it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles. So I was able to convey that message, bridging my passion of music and my activism work that I wanted to start and make that song called No, You Won't Bully Me. From then, I wanted a learning tool in classrooms. So I made a book called The Bully Stop. And from there, the rest is history. I've gone to different schools all over the country, speaking to kids about what bullying is, how to stop it if it happens to them, and to be anti-bullying advocates in their own schools and communities. So that's how I started with my anti-bullying work.
Yeah, I love it. And you mentioned your single, No, You Won't Bully Me, your very first release at just 7 years old. And to my listeners, I'm going to drop a little clip of that song in right here so that you can hear it. Here you go.
I look at you and say you sad. No, you won't. No, you won't bully me. No, you won't. Cause you think you're better than me. No, you won't. No, you won't bully me. No, you won't. Cause you wanna be like me. Sticking stones do break bones, but words are true and they make you grow. This ain't a key for a chubby girl, for a dark girl, for a kinky kid. Come on, I'm a bottom, just a cute girl. In this bigger world, I'm gonna make a way, no matter what you say. Because for you I pray, I'm gonna win anyway. No, you won't. No, you won't bully me. No, you won't. Cause you think you're better than me. No, you won't. No, you won't bully me. No, you won't. Cause you wanna be like me. Just because you have disabilities doesn't mean you have no ability. Don't make jokes of someone's reality, or don't make jokes of someone's nationality. You could wear your garb, you could wear your scarf, you could wear your hat, and it shouldn't even matter to anyone. Because in you, bully, you're the smaller one. Then that's a funny one. The one who's sad in the long run. So don't go around bullying, hurting me, hurting her. Hurting him is gonna make you very grim. No, you won't. No, you won't bully me. No, you won't. Cause you think you're better than me. No, you won't. No, you won't bully me. No, you won't. Cause you wanna be like me.
Oh, I love that so much. And to be 7 years old and to write that and to stand up for yourself in that way is absolutely amazing. So, you know, it's really a young person's voice is so, so powerful, right? And I feel like some young kids might think, you know, I'm small, I'm young, I cannot make a difference, so why try? But I saw that 18 years ago. You know, when I was diagnosed and my kids were 12 and 13 years old and said, hey, we can do something about this. And they, you know, have talked to members of Congress, even in our meetings in Washington, D.C., you can see that they were really being listened to. They really were impactful. And it has just been incredible to see the things that they have been able to push forward despite their young age. And you are a perfect example of what a young person can accomplish.
I think the reason why kids are so good at making a difference is because at a very young age, we're able to be very open-minded. different situation so we can accept people a lot better. People who are different than us, people who may not look like us, we are able to accept who they are and that to not let that define who they are as a person. So mm-hmm. I think the fact that we can be so open-minded, we're able to come up with new creative and innovative ideas to help convey a better message, an important message.
Yeah, for sure. So I know you've done a lot of cool things. I know you've met a lot of people and been able to share your experience with others in a variety of ways. What are some of the things that you have done that have been really meaningful to you?
That's a really good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before. Yeah. So I think for me, what's always the most impactful is obviously I have to think about what is my goal when I'm doing anti-bullying work? Like, what do I want to achieve? Mm-hmm. So I think any way that a kid is impacted when I go talk to them is always the most important goal. So for example, if I'm in a room and I'm talking to 100 kids, if at least one of those kids was impacted and like, hey, either I'm a bully and I want to change my ways, or I want to start standing up for myself, or I want to be an anti-bullying advocate, or I want to follow my passion, whatever they think, that is a mission complete. Like, that is my goal, and I achieved beyond what my goal is. If even one kid thought about the idea of making a change. So I think that is always my goal, and that is always what I want to see happen when I go talk to kids. I think the thing that I was most happy to achieve, I think being nominated for Nickelodeon and Times Kid of the Year is probably one of my happiest goals to achieve, for multiple reasons. So first, I've always been a Nickelodeon kid. Like, I've always watched Nickelodeon ever since I was super young. So being able to be on TV, like actually like watching myself on that channel, was very, very big for me. They also gave each kid who was nominated for top five, 5K to help with their organization. So that was very, very helpful for me. 5K, like, that's a good amount of money to go help and impact the world in a better place. So that was very, very helpful as well. I think I was also able to network with a lot of other kids, and it also opened me up to do a lot more things. It put me on a bigger platform. So I was able to be on different other shows, Nick Cannon show, Access Hollywood, and it was able to get my message out there even more. So I think that was definitely one of my most impactful achievements.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talked about reaching one person. Do you have a story about like one person?
Yeah. So the thing is that kids like my age and kids a little younger than me, they may be like a little bit shy or a little bit like, you know, not very they'll be a little shy to come up and talk to you like with all their friends watching. So usually they won't. A kid has come up to me. So I was scrolling on my YouTube comment section, looking at my old videos and just looking at comments. Yeah. And it was a comment that I got like a couple days before that. And it was this girl saying, you came to my school and I was really, really inspired. So we had to do a project about someone who was very impactful to us. And she said she made her project about me. She wrote a whole project. She wrote this whole thing about me. And I was like, really, really like, I was like, wow, that's really crazy. She told her I inspired her to be this better person, inspired her to do all these different things. And I was like, wow, like kids really do receive the message. And you know, you don't really, like when you're doing this activism work, you don't really notice until like someone like you sort of stop and you really reflect on like what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And that was one of those moments for me. And ever since then, I was really like even more inspired than I was before to keep going and keep pushing to inspire more people to do this.
Well, I know for a fact that you are inspiring so many kids, so many young people that you don't even know and will never know. And also inspiring other adults, you know, who might have a passion and just haven't taken that step forward to pursue it. So you're inspiring, but who inspires you professionally, personally? Where do you get your drive?
That's a really good question. I think my parents are very helpful with inspiring me, always sort of pushing me because they know what I'm capable even more than I know what I'm capable of. Mm-hmm. So maybe if I think that like I'm really busy and like I don't know if I can do this right now, they're always helpful to sort of be that extra boost that I need. I think also indirectly when I go talk to schools, the kids are very inspiring because they're very receptive of what I'm talking and they sort of like your old peers are like listening to you. I think also inspires me even more that I can see like I have this next generation that my generation can help me sort of get my message out even more because I can just be the only person doing it as much as I try. So I think that these kids can be anti-bully advocates and anti-bully activists as well. I think inspires me a lot as well.
All right. I talked to a number of young people on this podcast, and I'm always in such great awe that they have the ability to see things more clearly, you know, just differently. So as a 13-year-old who has been bullied and has taken a negative situation and turned it into a positive, what life lesson or life motto would you want to share with other kids or other adults?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I have a few.
Okay.
I think the first one that I like to tell to kids is, first, whatever passion you have, go for it, and that you're never too young to make a change. I think a lot of kids, like you said earlier, sort of, or you expect them, or they may feel like they're too young to be impactful and make a change. And I think it's quite the opposite. Other peers, like if I'm going to a school, most likely the kids will listen to me more than they listen to an adult talking about the same exact thing. If I'm at this school and I give an adult, like a teacher, the same exact slideshow presentation, I explain to them how I'm going to do it and they do it, it would be more receptive if I do it rather than they do it, because kids will listen to someone else like them even more. So I think whatever passion you have for it, go for it. You're never too young to make a change. You know, write it down, you know, have like, I love how you have that monthly goals behind you. Like sort of have a vision board, have something that you want to see happen in your life, change that you want to see happen in your life. Write it down and go for it. Have a good support system. Tell your parents about it and just go out and do whatever you want to do. Dancers, athlete, entertainer, whatever you want to do, activist, go for it. I think I also want to tell kids, once you start with your passion, or even adult, once you start with your passion, then you have to get yourself out. It's not going to happen overnight. For me, I was DJing for about 3 or 4 years before I started DJing for the Brooklyn Nets. You have to start getting yourself out there. Before, when I first started, I was doing stuff for free, community events. I was reaching out to events, telling people, can I come do this? Can I come do that? So reaching out and getting your voice out there and then sort of hyping yourself up as if you are all that, as if you are and know your worth and know who you are, to sort of go do these things, I think it's always going to help. Because let's say I'm DJing and there's only 5 people there, right? I'm like, there's only 5 people here. Oh, bum. Like, there's only 5 people here. But let's think about it logically. Those 5 people could be big 5 people. So one person could be a cousin of someone who works in the entertainment business. Someone else could be a director of entertainment at Nickelodeon, for example. Someone could be someone who works in the political scene who can help you raise money and get your voice out there. You never know who's watching and you never know who is there. So always put on your best face, your best A game, and go out there. So follow your passion, never too young to make a change, hold yourself out there, and you are all that. That's all I got to tell kids. I think that's very, very important.
Believe in yourself, right? If you don't believe in yourself,
nobody else.
Exactly. I love that. And you mentioned you never know who's watching. Isn't that how you got connected to be the resident DJ at the Brooklyn Nets?
Exactly. So just be an example. Like, that's a direct example. Yeah. So sort of like, so the way it happened is that I was on my local news, Pitch 11, morning news, and I was featured there. It was a whole interview that came to my house and it was released. So the second time it aired, which was the week after, the director of entertainment for the Brooklyn Nets saw that and he wanted me right away. So you never know who's watching.
Right. That's awesome. So I noticed that you were the keynote speaker at your 8th grade graduation. And I was like looking to find it. I wasn't able to find it. But what are a couple of things that you were able to share with your peers?
Great question. So when I was the keynote speaker for my eighth grade graduation, so I was middle school president at my school.
Oh, nice.
So that was, so they gave us a Google form for everyone who was speaking. It was sort of like, pick what you want to address, the past, the present, or the future. Now, I was like, I don't really want to address the past necessarily because that's sort of reflecting. And I don't think that that was sort of what I wanted to address because I want to move forward. The present was cool. I know the present is the present. But I think that the present could also be connected to the future, how you could move forward. So I chose to do the future. I think the future was probably the most important one to me to do because that's where we're going after we leave this school and after we go do these things.
Yeah.
So I was telling my peers that we're Gen Z. We have the power beyond measure to achieve our goals. I think that was very important for me to tell my peers. And that we have sort of been able to be super resilient. We went through an entire global pandemic. Like we had to do online school. Like we had to go through all these different things and still we were able to graduate. So I think that was very important for me to tell my peers that they're resilient. We're very resilient that we know that we were able to survive this. We can survive anything else we put our minds to. So that was probably what I mainly wanted to address to the kids.
So now you are a leader in your community and I imagine a lot of people look up to you. You seem to be very strong and confident. Is there anything right now that you worry about?
Things that I worry about. Definitely the government. I really worry about the government because I'm seeing how all these different things are playing out. And I'm like, who does this? Like, it's people that we trust with our lives. We trust them to make the right choices. And it's like, what are y'all doing? Like, what is this? Like with this whole abortion thing, the gun control, like these different things that are just happening. Boom, 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 boom. And they're still thinking like in the sort of wrong way to think. And this is my opinion, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the whole gun control, they're like, oh, we need to work this focus on mental health. Sure, we need to focus on mental health, but how is that going to work? How about you don't let people take guns like this? You cannot drink until you're 21. How are you able to have a gun? You can trust someone who's 18 with a gun. You are still a teenager at 18. That's so beyond me. And the fact that they're thinking like so in the wrong direction is really, really something that worries me. And I know that kids, we can try to be the voice that we want to be. Like we can try our best, but it's ultimately up to the government to make the right choices. And they're not doing that. And it's sort of really, I think that's really, really scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a scary world. That's for sure. What do you see yourself doing in the future? Like after high school, have you narrowed in on a specific interest that you think you'll do as a career?
Oh, that's such a good question. I get asked this a little bit, quite a few times. I think my response is always different. Because for me, I really change what I want to do every single day.
Absolutely.
Recently, it's definitely been, I think I want to be a lawyer or a judge. I think that's something that I want to do. I think I may want to work in the government or I think I want to be a journalist and focus on that. Yeah. I'm not sure at all, but I definitely want to continue to spread this positive message in the near future.
Yeah.
So continue to motivate my peers, motivate the people around me and continue to do what I'm doing. I think that's definitely what I want to see myself doing.
Yeah.
I don't know career-wise, but I have a few ideas, but I'm working on it.
Well, hey, you've got time. Whenever you decide to do, I know it'll be wonderful. So
thank you.
Yeah. So I had to ask this because you are an anti-bullying activist.
Yes.
Are you bullied anymore?
Yes, of course. Mm. I think I may be bullied even more. Because, and so first, I would like to say, like, in general, because of COVID, we saw a rise in statistics with cyberbullying. Cyberbullying went completely up because everyone is on their phones now, and it's easy to hide behind a screen and say hurtful things. So I think I'm bullied even more because people are sort of like, you think you're all that, like you do all these things, like you think you're not all that. People will try to like bring you down as much as they can, and it's like, why? But I have thick skin. I, to be honest, I already know I'm all that. So that I have that confidence and that thick skin, I think is very important, but not a lot of people have that. I think I'm lucky to have that. So I think that's one thing. I'm still bullied a lot when I go to camps, when I go to different places. People still bully me a lot, but I don't really care. Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing that you have to have.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be yourself, because I feel like nobody is going to like you as much as you can like yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be that motivation that you have to be for yourself sometimes. So I think that you can't let those things faze you.
I love that. I know. I think everyone has come across bullying in one way or another.
Yeah.
I know I was bullied in high school simply because I was a cheerleader. I think that was the reason, you know, and I remember like hiding in the bathroom. And
people don't have a valid reason. Like I said earlier, whatever insecurities bullies have, they'll take it right out on you.
Yeah.
Like, because it may not, they will be like, why are you wearing yellow today? Like, they will say anything that they can to just bully you. And it's like, because they don't know how to deal with themselves. They don't know who they are. And it's like, it's a shame, but it's like, you have to sort of like, be like, how can I help them? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Now you have compassion for them. Like, I wonder what they're really going through to take it out on other people. So, okay. You're doing a lot, but how can the listeners help you in your efforts? Is there any way can we simply, you know, tell people about you, follow you on social media? What's the best way to support you in your efforts?
I think following social media is the biggest thing you could do, because right now I'm starting an organization, but the way you can support me the best is by following me on social media. I post basically everything that I do related to DJ. Anything that's going on in my life, I usually post on social media, and I'm very consistent on posting on social media. So follow me on there, and I post updates. Maybe I'm going to be at an event about anti-bullying. You can come and support and show your face. That's where you can support me, and it's always different every single time. Follow me on social media, and getting updates is the best way you can support me.
Am I right that you're pretty much everywhere on social media at DJ Annie Red?
Yeah, DJ Annie Red, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, everything.
Okay, great. Okay, you have been a wonderful guest. At the end of every episode, I ask this. What are you dying to tell us?
I think the most important thing I'm dying to tell you guys is that this month, at the end of this month, I'll be receiving the President's Award from Joe Biden and the government, White House administration. I'll be getting it in Texas.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so excited. I'm very honored to receive this award. So I'm just looking forward to that. So that's what I'm dying to tell you guys.
Samira, that is wonderful. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy that all of your efforts and your hard work is being recognized. So that's awesome. All right. You mentioned earlier that you wrote a book, and it's called The Bully Stop. So teachers, educators, young parents, where can they get the book?
You can get it on Amazon, and if you go into Barnes & Noble, you can get it as well.
Thank you. You've been so good.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, and I just remembered, the book is in Spanish as well, right?
Yeah, I'm fluent in Spanish. My mom's side is Peruvian and Panamanian. So, I speak Spanish fluently, and
Is it one book, and it's
one book, and then the pages are split. So English and then Spanish on each side.
Awesome.
And the way that I wanted to do that so I can sort of spread the message even more in different languages.
That's great. I'm glad you thought of that. So how fun is it to be the kid resident DJ at the Brooklyn Nets?
It's really fun. It's definitely like, it was very surreal for me doing it for the first time.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Samira, DJ Annie Red. I will be watching you and continuing to see all the goodness that you bring to this world. So keep it up. Thank you for being here, and I hope we keep in touch.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. Oh, I love that so much. 7 years old. and tired of being bullied and does something about it, and then just continues to spread a beautiful message amongst kids. I love it, love it, love it. Thank you, Samira. It was such a pleasure meeting you. And thank you all for listening. I appreciate you being here. And if you like this episode and you want to hear more, I release new ones on the 2nd and the 4th Tuesday of every month. And if you want to know what's coming up, who's coming up, you can follow me on social media. I am pretty much everywhere at I'm Dying to Tell You Podcast. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all those good places. If you like this episode and you're on Apple and you want to leave a review, that would be great. It helps other people find it and hopefully touches someone in a very special way. And as a reminder, I will be putting links in the show notes so that you can get connected with DJ Annie Red, follow her, check out her music, buy her children's book that she wrote, and all that good stuff. And you can find the show notes at my website and Facebook page, both at I'm Dying to Tell You Podcast. Okay, thank you again for being here. I really, really appreciate it. Until next time, know that you are loved and not alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to our mom. Make sure to visit her website at imdyingtotellyoupodcast.com, where you'll find photos and show notes about this episode. If you liked the show, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend. Thank you.